Ladies and gentlemen,
Senhores deputados, peço
please,
licença para darmos início aos nossos trabalhos.
I beg of you, we must start our meeting. I believe the simultaneous interpreting is working, the gentleman asks. Again, I would like to get the confirmation that you're receiving the interpreting. I would like to welcome the ECON delegation of the European Parliament. I would like to welcome you in the Portuguese Parliament. This meeting is part and parcel of the works Troika in countries receiving financial aid, and we have several committees of the Portuguese Parliament present. After a brief presentation, I will give the floor to my colleagues. This is a joint meeting with the European Affairs Committee that I chair, together with the Committee on Budget, Finance and Public Administration, the Economy and Public Works Committee, and the Committee to monitor the aid program, and we're waiting for the Minister of Foreign, the chair of this committee to arrive. First, I will take the floor, and immediately after, I will give the floor to my colleagues. And then, of course, we will give the floor to the members of the European Parliament. And immediately after, there will be a debate period for the members of the Portuguese Parliament. We must set a period for that, and I will give 5 minutes to each parliamentary group, and then we will have the debate period. The ECON Committee in the Portuguese Parliament follows the European affairs. We're not specifically competent to deal with the financial aid program, but since the European Commission and the ECB play a special role within the scope of the Troika, we have been following these matters. Thus, we participate in the reviews when they take place every 3 months, together with the Speaker of the Portuguese Parliament. And although we don't have specific competencies in this field, we do follow the European initiatives within this scope. Regarding the different specific committees, those that follow the financial aid package, this belongs to the Finance Committee and a special committee that was established to follow and monitor these works. So I will give the floor to Mr. Cabrita, the Chair of the Finance Committee. Good morning. I would like to greet in particular the members of the European Parliament, the Committee on Monetary and Economic Affairs, with whom we are in contact on a regular basis. I also see the members of the Committee on Budget, with whom we've been in contact quite recently. The Committee on Budget, Finance and Public Administration is the Portuguese Parliament committee responsible for the political monitoring of all that concerns the competencies of the Ministry of Finances. This means that we, on a regular basis, follow the activities developed by the Finance Ministry, as well as all the administrative initiatives of the Finance Ministry, are discussed in this committee. This means that in the specific context of this program that we have been submitted to during the last 2 years and a half, we have a relevant legislative activity. This is the committee with the largest number of law diplomas that have been discussed and approved, and this is basically due to the fact that we are following this program of adjustments. And we follow the budget adjustments, and we also monitor everything that concerns taxes and the financial system. Together with this relationship with the government, we also have an institutional relationship with the Bank of Portugal, the Auditor's Court, and all the entities related with the financial system. For example, in what concerns the recapitalization of the banks and the support provided to the financial system, this was the committee that heard the banks, the Portuguese Association of Banks, and also the regulatory committee for the stock exchange activities. So, in a nutshell, this has been the very intense activity that we've developed during this period. Now, I will give the floor to the committee monitoring the financial aid package. Good morning to the members of the European Parliament. This committee to monitor the measures of the financial aid package was established by the Portuguese Parliament, and we have to follow politically the unfolding of this financial aid package. We do not play a role at the legislative level. This is something that is taken care of by the different other committees. So our committee focuses on the organization of the political debate and also the political monitoring or supervision, if you like, of the government's performance on this matter. Thus, this committee meets on a regular basis with the representatives of the Troika. In each review moment, every 3 months, we also meet with the members of the government responsible for the financial aid package, currently with the Deputy Minister, Deputy Prime Minister, the Minister of Finances, and also the Secretary of State to the Prime Minister, the Bank of Portugal, and all other institutions which are indeed relevant, so that we may have an overview of the implementation of this program in such a way as to enable every parliamentary group represented in this committee to actively participate in this national debate. Thank you. We also have the Committee on Economics and Public Works, Mr. Carrasqueiro. Good morning. And in particular, I would like to greet the members of the European Parliament and, above all, the Portuguese members of the European Parliament. This committee is not specifically devoted to the program. We focus especially on the microeconomics, public works, transportation, and the protection of the consumer. In a nutshell, we are the recipients, if you like, of many of the reforms that have been imposed upon us by this financial aid package. So we, above all, carry out an assessment of the consequences resulting from the agreed measures and which are their impact in the real economy, especially in the transportation sector, since many have been the initiatives and reforms that have taken place and which we have been following. So we are a residual committee, so to speak, more related with economic affairs. I would like to add two comments. First, as you can expect, given the relevance of this topic for the political situation in Portugal and for the future of our country, many of these topics are also discussed by the Parliament as a whole every 2 weeks, and also according to the initiative of the different parliamentary groups. And according to our rules in our Parliament, parliamentary groups can take the initiative to discuss these matters. So almost on a weekly basis, These matters are discussed in our plenary, in our parliament. And of course, in this financial aid package and also in the MOU, many other measures foreseen that lie under the competence of other committees, namely in the field of justice and also local power. And these, of course, are followed by other sectoral committees that are competent in the field of local power, labor, and justice. But these committees present here today are those more closely related with these matters, namely the one to monitor the financial aid package and the Budget and Finance Committee. After this brief presentation, I believe the time now has come to invite the members of the European Parliament to make comments or ask questions. So I would like to invite the rapporteurs or also the other members of the delegation. If you have questions, please, the floor is yours. There's a roving mic available.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your questions. Of course, all of us have an answer for your questions, but it's not up to the chair. Yes, please.
É do dia 7 de manhã. E é substituir essa Sara Monteiro pela Sara Monteiro que eu tenho. Então, pode. Essa pode apagar.
Obrigadíssima.
Thank you. I believe all of us have an answer for the questions asked, but it's not up to the chair to give answers, so I will give the parliamentary groups the opportunity to give answers. And I will start with the Socialist Party, the largest party in the opposition, a member of parliament, Pedro Marques. If you prefer, you can take the stand up in front. Chair, members of the European Parliament, thank you so much for your presence here today. We would like to welcome your initiative, the initiative of the European Parliament. Finally, an initiative of the European Parliament to do the scrutiny of this financial aid assistance programs. These result from an intervention model that, from our viewpoint, is wrong, because it's a wrong interpretation of the European crisis. This was a financial crisis resulting from the typical movement of capital in a space characterized by economic asymmetries, was transformed into the crisis of the culprits of the south of Europe, the crisis of guilt. And given the wrong answer given to this crisis, it was extended, and it also affected France, resulting from the bad evaluation of the crisis. Classical answers for this crisis were chosen, such as to promote the devaluation and to impoverish these countries that apparently are guilty. And these answers, up until today, have not provided results, namely in a context of fixed exchange rates and in a context of sovereign states where there was a strong invitation to immigration and to a brain drain. And this was very negative, and it affected the country politically and democratically. This one-size-fits-all kind of answer led us during the period before the crisis, a growth of the economic demands to be lower than the European average, and less than half of the domestic demand in Ireland, Spain, or Greece. At this moment in time, given the context of the evolution of the domestic consumption and private consumption that was entirely different in the south of Europe, and there was a one-size-fits-all kind of answer. So we had the impoverishing, the end of private-public consumption, although these variables in Portugal were developing with lower percentages than in the European average, and in some cases, the second lowest percentage in the Eurozone. This was a dysfunctional answer, but it also affected the democratic process, both when the programs were being designed. In Portugal, we had the involvement of the three parties that represent over 80% of the Portuguese Parliament, but from the European point of view, there were dysfunctions in the approval of these programs, namely in the approval of the program, because we did not value enough the political consensus. This was degraded in the implementation phase. There were formal meetings with the political parties, but they were formal in nature. And given the different opinions expressed with the different political parties and also in Parliament, this did not affect or change the program. So the democratic involvement of the duly elected representatives of the people was only formal. And this also led to the social and democratic burnout in the implementation of the adjustment program. A comment regarding the implementation and the attained results. The implementation of the program meant a doubling of the austerity both in 2012 and 2013, but also the doubling, increasing of the objectives and what was foreseen in the fiscal compact in the European treaty. This led to the crushing of the domestic demand, a stronger recession, a higher unemployment, as it was mentioned, with dramatic social consequences. Half a million unemployed, which are not subsidized in our country. So the social situation is dramatic in Portugal. Families don't have the capacity to support these people who are jobless. The large family has been affected due to the cuts in salaries and cuts in pensions, not being able to help these jobless citizens, and the public deficit due to the deflation as a percentage of the GDP is now the double of the initial goals of the program. The public debt, as you know, is soaring high, higher than what was initially foreseen by the program due to the deflation and the deflationist strategy developed in our country. Private investment plummeted, and private investment must be the backbone for the economic recovery. And, of course, we cannot touch the financial system. The initial strategy for the stability of the financial system was adjusted in terms of ratios, but there's a dynamic adjustment which is being degraded. Default is permanently increasing because of the consequences of recession on families and companies, and therefore the financial system is being dynamically affected, and which was initially stable. In one of the last reports of the Troika, it was finally detected, and I would like to mention this, there's a lack of relationship between the dynamism of the exporting sector and the unit costs of labor. I will finish. This is lower in the private sector. It only happened in the public sector, and exports are still dynamic. This means that this pré-apporté, or one-size-fits-all kind of model of impoverishing the country and lowering wages, was not needed by our economy. This was not needed for the exporting sectors. We had recession and a massive immigration with severe consequences, both socially and politically in our country. There's a lacking of democratic involvement and legitimacy in the implementation of these programs, both at the national and European levels. Thank you. I will give the other parliamentary groups the same time slot, and Mr. Nunes from the Social Democrat Party.
A sessão já começou. Atenção, atenção. A sessão já começou. Pede-se o favor de ocuparem os vossos lugares e de não fazer barulho.
First, of course, I would like to greet the chairs of the different committees, and I would like to greet the ECON committee's presence in Portugal, members of parliament, the media. In my first address, public address, I would like to wish you a good 2014. In several and different occasions regarding this program in our country, we have expressed the idea that it's not the time to make a final assessment of this program. This moment will come with time, eventually some time after the program comes to an end. In any case, the midterm reviews that have taken place in the Portuguese Parliament, namely by the committee to monitor the measures of the financial aid package and also the specialized committees present here today, all of these are welcome. And of course, it's very important to have the ECON committee visiting us in Portugal. We are reaching the very end of this program. 9 positive midterm reviews, a 10th midterm review that was positive, but under the condition of the presentation of measures that will enable the correction of the recent decisions of the Constitutional Court. The Portuguese economy in the last few months has been giving positive signs in terms of the growth of the GDP, the evolution of the unemployment rates, industrial production indicators, and also the indicators regarding the trust of the consumers. The 3 main pillars of this program, the stabilization of the financial system, the stabilization of public accounts, and structural reforms, Portugal has already developed work that must be duly highlighted. However, we get the feeling that the phase where we find ourselves in could be better. And if it's true that we can reach the success at the end of this financial aid program, we could even be better. Shortly after the beginning of this program, it was clear that the design of the program was not the best. We're talking not only about the design of the assistance program, but also of the financial envelope. And if it's true that shortly after the beginning of the implementation of the program, it was clear that given that the reality of the country was not the one outlined in the MOU of the 17th of May regarding the budget deficit indicator that did not correspond to reality, if all this was made clear, we got the feeling that on the side of the international institutional creditors, this was not duly updated in the MOU regarding the consequences that had already been gathered. From this viewpoint, we must say that notwithstanding the fact that twice the deficit goals were revisited, this would not have been needed if in our program we had taken on board the consequences of the conclusion that the reality in the country was not duly illustrated in the MOU of the 17th of May. I believe the main purpose of your presence here today is to carry out an assessment of the members of the Troika and not to try and score victories regarding the past. So I will focus on the members of the Troika, and I will not do the same as the Member of Parliament who spoke before me. There was not enough flexibility regarding the mid-term reviews. And a very good example of that, in our opinion, is when the fifth mid-term review took place at the end of August 2012, the beginning of September 2012. The lack of flexibility among the Troika members and how this review was conducted together with the government did not leave much room for the Portuguese government to move forward with a very controversial measure that endangered consensus and social cohesion that had been reached in the country in spite of the implementation of the program. It was clear that Portugal was making a huge effort. Portuguese families, Portuguese companies were making a huge effort. And unlike other countries, Portugal was committed to be successful. There were already some results attained, and at the time, the members of the Troika did not reciprocate. You must come to an end, says the chair. I will soon finish. For the success of such a program, we must highlight the wrong sign given by the international creditors when we have the head economist halfway the program questioning the multiplicators being used, giving wrong signs to the country that was making huge efforts to implement the MOU. And I will soon finish, I beg of you. And months later, the philosophy of the MOU was questioned by Madame Lagarde. You have already exceeded your time, says the chair. The gentleman continues. Those who are responsible, if they were right, this should have given rise to practical consequences in terms of the MOU, or they should have weighed their words. We will continue immediately with Member of Parliament Cecilia Meirelles from the CDS.
O grande probabilidade de incidência sísmica, precisamos de criar condições para termos dado.
Good morning. First, of course, I would like to greet all those present and the representatives of the delegation of the European Parliament. In view of the debate that has been taking place, you have already gathered from the two previous presentations what is being experienced today in Portugal. We only have two midterm reviews left, and the program will come to an end in 5 months, so we're almost finishing the implementation of the program, and today the priority for Portugal is to bring this program to an end, going back to the markets. And some of the problems related with these assistance programs is difficult to explain what this means, to go back to the markets. What is the positive impact this has on the common citizen? And in Portugal, I believe this is a priority. Given that this is a priority, we have social consensus. This is the current state of play. But reaching this moment in time entails major commitment and sacrifices for the Portuguese and for the country. And the most illustrative is the level of unemployment. In the last quarter, there was a slight decrease of unemployment, but in Portugal, the unemployment rates are unacceptable. And this is indeed a priority for us. Regarding the role of the social partners, and since this was a topic raised, there was an effort made by the social partners throughout the different moments, but in particular in what concerns the labor law, where the social partners played a very important role and they made a consensus effort. Now, what went wrong? And regarding the role of the Troika and the role of the creditors, there are three aspects I would like to highlight. Our political party is a member of the government, and this has already been said in several of the reviews. The divorce that exists between those who are responsible at the political level and the performance of those who are on the ground is quite clear, and this is a problem. We have at the same time the political recognition of the importance of the adjustments and the speed at which it takes place, and what this might mean or what it could have meant in terms of the sacrifice demanded to the population. What we see is that this is not the case among those who do the technical work. In the last two reviews, the two political parties in the government and the opposition consider to be adequate a deficit that is higher than the one agreed. At the same time, the Troika's speech was of flexibility and openness in practice, and in the negotiations they were non-flexible in a very adamant way. So, both in the present and in the future, it's more difficult to achieve such a flexibility on their side. after problems arise, there's in fact flexibility. And this is clear among the IMF and the Commission, and this was clear in the last review. It is clearly stated there is flexibility in case the European economic development is not the one foreseen, and thereby some goals can be corrected. But what we are not doing is the anticipation of these problems, so that measures, the necessary measures, are taken so that the impact and the consequences are mitigated. We're being reactive instead of being proactive. And this would make the difference, especially in a country such as Portugal, that has been committed to this adjustment. And finally, since I don't have much time left, I would like to highlight the role of the national parliaments. The committee to monitor the measures of the financial aid package meets with the Troika whenever the Troika members are in Portugal. But the role of the national parliaments has been of a dialogue among the political parties and the government. So in each review, these political parties are heard, but national parliaments should have a more active role, and this should be revisited in the future because they should be more present in the supervision and monitoring of this type of programs. And now the Communist Party representative, you have the floor. Thank you, Chair. On behalf of the Portuguese Communist Party, I would like to greet the European Parliament Committee visiting Portugal, and I hope that you will gather more than what you can gather on 6 minutes presentations in the Portuguese Parliament. First, I would like to clarify so that you may fully grasp our presentation that the Troika and the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding were not a volunteer decision of the Portuguese people, but rather the political, financial blackmail resulting from a structural crisis of capitalism that several countries in Europe have witnessed, given the influence of foreign forces, and the Portuguese sovereign debt was affected, and also private parts of the country, and political blackmail, as I was saying, was being done both by the Socialist Party and the two political parties in government today. The very content of this MOU was hidden from the Portuguese in every moment throughout. Elections were held shortly after the signing of the MOU, and when its contents were known, namely by the members of the Portuguese Parliament, its content was being hidden from the population at large. So the elections that were held under the hallmark of this MOU involved the manipulation of information and lies about the contents of the MOU. There was no popular involvement in the design of the MOU, and it was not made known to the public at large. From the questions asked, I believe your job is also to gather information regarding the implementation of the MOU and of the assistance program. And the issue is not the deadlines, but rather the nature of the program. It's not the fact that it's a 3-year program or a 78 billion euro program. or a program that is applied, implemented with more or less flexibility of the institutions that make up the Troika, but rather the very nature and goals of the program. The 9 positive reviews speak for themselves. If it is positive, the results that we can all see, this clearly illustrates which is the true purpose of this program. If the purpose was not more unemployment, lower wages, a more impoverished country, and a country with a higher debt, well, so it's a positive result, as we've seen in the different reviews. So the nature of this program clearly aims at reconfiguring the Portuguese state. And this means that all state services should be at the service of monopolies to make them richer by decreasing labor costs and decreasing wages and also pensions. The impact of the MOU is clear. The state budget, which has just been approved, entails that the economic groups pay only 1/3 of the taxes that will be paid by Portuguese working population. And this is clear also in the 2 other budgets. Given this MOU that was signed by the IMF, the ECB, the European Commission, the Socialist Party, and the 2 political parties in government. Regarding the involvement of the Portuguese Parliament, the involvement of the population, and the legitimacy of this program, this is the opinion of our parliamentary group, but it also reflects an opinion of the Portuguese population. There was only the involvement of some political parties at the highest level, so that the Troika would arrive to Portugal and carry out this financial occupation which is taking place. There was no involvement of the population, of the very grassroots of the Portuguese population, in the design and also in the implementation of the goals foreseen in the MOU. The parliamentary involvement is always something which is taking place in a reactive manner, only after things happen. And the parliament echoes the decisions of the Troika and the government. And this does not mean that we have an opposition that is against only. And when they say that the Troika is not flexible enough, but this political parties in government, they have given steps and taken measures that are even more stringent than those demanded by the Troika. Regarding the engagement of the population, well, we could ask, would it be a better program with the population's engagement? I believe there would be no program, because democratic participation and foreign occupation exclude each other. And I will finish with the following comment. This is something which is very clear from the economic indicators. Portugal is a poor country where over 5 billion people are below the threshold of poverty, 1.4 million unemployed, and it's a country where 100,000 people have left the country to work abroad. We have 130% of the GDP corresponding to the public debt, so we have a higher debt. We are a more dependent country with less production, and apparently the solution is that we go back to the markets. What is relevant is that Portugal, after the implementation of this MOU, will be in a worse position to overcome the structural problems of the Portuguese economy, and therefore Portugal will also be a less democratic country. And now, Bloco de Esquerda, Mr. Luís Fazenda, you have the floor. First, I would like to greet the chairpersons of the Portuguese Parliament committees, the members of the European Parliament, members of the Portuguese Parliament, and the media. We have been discussing two lines of thought, one about the democratic institutional participation of the different political players, and also who is sovereign in the country, the people, and another line of thought regarding the quality of this MOU, which is the backbone of the Troika's assistance program. I would like to comment on both. First, I would like to highlight that the Portuguese Parliament was in a situation where elections had been scheduled, but the Portuguese Parliament was not involved before nor after, and the elections took place in June, immediately after the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding. And the Portuguese Parliament did not vote the MOU. This question was asked, and you should get a clear answer. No, the Portuguese Parliament did not vote the Memorandum of Understanding. Curiously enough, Germany did so, and other parliaments. But in Portugal, where the Portuguese people is represented, there was no voting of the MOU. As a matter of fact, the Portuguese Parliament has been excluded in the management and analysis of this assistance program. Why not? Why has it been excluded? Because there are no mechanisms or effective participation. So the process is unfolding between the government, possibly the Bank of Portugal and other institutions, but the Portuguese Parliament plays no role. To be very accurate, it is non-existing. It's zero. So it's very useful if the members of the European Parliament get an accurate image of what has been taking place. So regarding the meetings of the Portuguese Parliament with the Troika mission is just a meeting where we have an exchange of opinions. It's very formal in nature, but it does not generate any useful effects. The meetings take place behind closed doors, and we don't understand why. Because what is said in these meetings is known by the public at large. There is no restriction in terms of confidentiality. So the Portuguese Parliament is entirely excluded from this process that has been taking place in a non-transparent manner between the government and other technical entities and institutions and representatives of the different creditors. So from the democratic viewpoint, I believe an answer has been given. And I will not even talk about other players, social players in the country. Regarding the other line of thought, the quality and nature of this program, I believe we should disclose a fact to the members of the European Parliament, which was the resignation of the finance minister who was responsible for the program from the very beginning, Mr. Vítor Gaspar, a member of the staff of the European Commission, highly recommended and renowned, and halfway through he resigned, saying and claiming that this program was non-credible. This was not said by someone from a left-wing party. This was stated by the former Minister of Finances. After that, the government carries out a reshuffling and keeping everything as it was before, but the credibility of the program was taken by the person who most defended and protected this program before the Portuguese public opinion. And he was also the one who gave the credibility stamp to the foreign markets. Regarding the nature of the program, it's well known The Portuguese economy has been attacked by this program. The wealth of this country went back 12 years in only 2 years and a half. The recovery, if we manage to develop gross capacity, it will take many years to come. So there was this brutal impoverishing of the country and also of the economic drive of the country. If we consider unemployment together with immigration, it's 1 million people. And also wages, direct, indirect wages have been assaulted. There's a forced privatization program. And all of this is following a recipe that is wrong. It's not about the investment capacity or the flexibility of the debt or the management of the indicators. The only effect was to lead Portugal to a black hole, being away from all the value chains, and this will be the case for many years to come. And this has consequences, dramatic consequences, social and political consequences, and this is what Europe has given us. And I would like to bring my presentation to a close by saying the MOU is coming to a close, and our government is trying to finish it the Irish way. But I would like to draw your attention that the fiscal compact will keep the basic conditions, a kind of a MOU without an MOU. And countries with the structural weaknesses, such as Portugal, will have huge difficulties in fulfilling these indicators. So there's a kind of eternal austerity that Portugal is being condemned to. And this is not the notion of a Europe that once we wanted to share. Thank you so much. We've had the presentations of the different members of the parliamentary groups with a seat in the Portuguese Parliament. And now I would like to ask the members of the European Parliament if you would like to take the floor. In the meantime, we have also the chair of the European Affairs Committee. And if no one else asks for the floor, I will now open the floor. Member of Parliament Sarvalt.
Tinha mais de quatro décadas. Passámos a ser um país onde as empresas que estão aqui a operar, sejam empresas de capital português ou de capital internacional, não interessa, para mim são todas empresas portuguesas, estão a conseguir ser competitivas numa escala mundial. Realmente, este movimento desta balança de capital foi acompanhado por um desenvolvimento das nossas exportações, nomeadamente nos últimos 5 anos, absolutamente extraordinário e que supera tudo aquilo que outros países da Europa Ocidental conseguiram neste período. As nossas exportações passaram de 28% do PIB para mais de 41% no período que vai de 2008 para 2013. E o objetivo é que nos próximos 4 ou 5 anos as exportações portuguesas passem de 42% para mais de 52%. Isto é, o objetivo deste governo, mas verdadeiramente este objetivo é realizado pelos empresários, a nossa rede de embaixadores, o governo é parceiro deste movimento e tem feito um trabalho notável ao nível da diplomacia económica.
Is there anyone else who would like to ask for the floor, please?
O nosso objetivo é...
And I ask this question both to the members of the Portuguese Parliament and the members of the European Parliament. Mr. Ribeiro Castro, if you could please take the stand so that everybody can see you, but if you like, you can address us from where you are. I wouldn't like our guests to have any neck problems because they would have to turn back to see you.
Mas eu creio que todos partilharão a ideia que nós próprios temos no governo de que uma economia que consegue...
Thank you so much. I would like to greet the members of the European Parliament. Some I know very well, so I would like to greet them personally. And the members of the Portuguese Parliament. And I would like to draw your attention towards two aspects which are very important vis-à-vis the future. When this comes to an end, we hope that Troika will be part and parcel of the past. It was mentioned that the Troika's performance in the European countries resulted from the inexistence of proper mechanisms in the EU to settle its own problems. And this is a reflection that must be conducted in the European Parliament, not by the current members of the European Parliament, but by the next elected members. Is the EU ready and willing to face these problems when they arise again? And this is really what is crucial. I would also like to draw your attention towards an issue raised before. Political accountability of the members of these institutions. And it's unacceptable, and it's politically difficult to manage when we have the authors of the programs undermining the programs which are being implemented. If you had a patient in the OR, and a limb is being amputated, and you have the surgeon saying, we have amputated his leg, but, well, instead we should have amputated his arm. And the patient is hearing this as if he was a guinea pig. So several times in this dialogue among the institutions, there was no respect vis-à-vis governments, vis-à-vis the parliaments, and the people that was being subject to these programs. And my third aspect, and I believe this is under the competence of the European Parliament, when the Troika leaves Portugal, we will continue with the so-called DOICA, let's call it like this, with the Commission and the ECB. And there are still many important tasks to be accomplished, measures to be implemented, and it's important for the European Parliament to be aware of the founding principles of the European Union, namely the overseeing. And several times in Portugal we had the feeling that the bad guy was not the IMF, but rather the Commission, the European Commission. And the Commission is the watchdog of the treaties, having solidarity, understanding responsibilities that it cannot turn a blind eye to, as well as the members of the Council. But this is related with the political sensitivities at the national level. But above all, the Commission, I would like to quote the preamble of the Treaty of... We are determined to lead to the convergence of economies. Are we achieving the convergence of our economies? We're determined to implement the social progress of the peoples of Europe. We are determined to ensure the economic progress of its member states. These are the founding principles of social market economy. These are expressions that today in Portugal are obscene. A full employment economy. What can the European institutions do so that stringent programs to correct this financial issues, but we must also fulfill the principles of the European treaties, and this is what we ask of the DOICA. Please do not exceed a 3-minute slot, because we have time constraints. Thank you so much. I would like to greet the delegation of the European Parliament that is going to prepare a report. And in my opinion, our most important input is that this report reflects our experience and affects what might happen in the future. This report will not be very useful if it explains how the Troika or the DOICA may work better in the future. This report is useful if it shows that the Troika should have never existed. Meaning that this idea that for the first time in the EU, countries were split between those that are going to be punished and that are going to be the guinea pigs for experiments to be conducted, and the other group of countries that are going to oversee this punishment is a mistake. What Europe needs are fair mechanisms. We are not in favor of an equalitarian policy. There are those who fulfill and there are those who are in default, but we need EU mechanisms to respond to these problems and to deal with them. What resulted from this program is that we have first-class and second-class Europeans. I'm being very simple in my words, but this is how people understand what we're saying. And the Europe of our dreams, a Europe of citizens, is not compatible with this notion that there are first-class and second-class Europeans, that some countries can be selected to be punished, to undergo an amputation if they misbehave. In the past, this happened, that prisoners were used as guinea pigs for medicine purposes. We must find mechanisms that, being fair and also by rewarding those who fulfill what needs to be fulfilled, and so that we have true European answers for our problems. We have two requests for the floor. Mr. Frasquillo, Member of Parliament Frasquillo. So we will have only these two speakers, and then I will bring to a close this debate period. Thank you, Chair. I would like to greet first the members of the European Parliament, and I would like to share with you some comments regarding the importance of your visit to Portugal and the report that will be made. This report will be very useful if it highlights the institutional shortcomings that we have in the European Economic Union. And secondly, if it clearly shows what happened during these 2 years and a half, and it has been longer in Greece, so that we can draw lessons for the future. We all know that there are budget goals foreseen in the European at the European level, but they cannot be met at any price. And this has been very clear, given what happened in the past, what we're still experiencing in Portugal, and we would like this report to include these two aspects, which in our opinion are of the utmost importance, so that in the future there's flexibility and also understanding that we did not get most of the time during these two years and a half. And now I will give the floor to the chair of the European Affairs Committee, Mr. Pinto. I will be very brief. I would like, of course, first to greet the members of the European Parliament, a parliament that for 10 years I was a member of, and that was an honor for me. And I would like to highlight two aspects that are indeed very important for us. First, the Portuguese Republic in 2007 had a budget deficit of 2.6% of the GDP. This means that before the financial crisis, and this was not triggered by the Portuguese financial system, before the expansionist budgets of 2009, the Greek crisis and the sovereign crisis, our deficit was 2.6% of the GDP. So we are not asking higher civilizations to teach us with benevolence or with discipline the way forward for budgetary discipline and robust public accounts. The growth rates of the country were showing that without turbulence, we're not the cause that led us to such a situation. Portugal would like to show to those who try to hide the reality of the systemic problems in the design of the Eurozone that will continue to generate systemic victors and systemic losers. We want these problems to be faced behind the fog of the moral hazard. Those who insist by saying that we should give for the future a disciplinatory example for are making a serious mistake. And the main victim will be Europe, because what distinguishes Europe and what is indeed European originality being born from irrepeatable and dramatic past examples is the solidarity among nations. And solidarity, and this is indeed the provocation given to the cynics in Europe. It's the importance of solidarity, and this cannot fail, because the moral hazard and the theory of the fair punishment and the moral enhancement of those who were not up to their responsibility, it's Milano's diplomacy. These are the strong in power and the weak obeying, and Europe was built against this. Thank you so much. Members of the Portuguese Parliament, members of the European Parliament, it was clear that the Portuguese Parliament is a plural body. There is a diversity of opinions, and this was made very clear, but I believe there's a common denominator. The Portuguese Parliament is interested in cooperating with the drafting of this report and with this initiative, so I believe I can say that we are entirely available and at your disposal. And Mr. Otmar Karas is asking for the floor. The floor is yours, sir.
O penúltimo slide da vossa apresentação. Desde a crise política que tivemos no princípio de julho, o mercado de capitais já subiu em Portugal 26%. E o mercado de capitais funciona com base nas intenções de investimento, ou mais do que intenções, nos compromissos de investimento das empresas que estão cotadas em Portugal. Por outro lado, as nossas taxas de juro de dívida, que chegaram a atingir, no pico daquela turbulência política de julho, um pico de 7,5%, estão agora a níveis, que já não estão atualizados, na casa dos 5,5%. Neste momento já não se discute, em todos os roadshows que eu fiz internacionais, a possibilidade de Portugal precisar de um segundo resgate. Aquilo que se discute é a forma como Portugal vai concluir este processo de ajustamento económico e financeiro. E, portanto, estamos num momento que eu não gosto de qualificar como um momento de grande otimismo, porque tenho a sensibilidade de perceber que as pessoas que estão a viver em Portugal continuam a sofrer muito, tanto ao nível das famílias que vivem do setor privado, aí a principal ameaça é o desemprego, como de todas as famílias que vivem no setor público, mas um momento de esperança, um momento de viragem, e um momento que eu acho que é especialmente interessante na agenda de atração de investimento, que é, no fundo, a variável que pode consolidar este momento de crescimento económico nos próximos anos. Não tenham dúvidas nenhumas. Se conseguirmos, e estamos a conseguir, através de uma agenda de maior confiança, estabilizar o consumo privado, que é cerca de 65% do PIB. Se conseguirmos dar continuidade a esta agenda das exportações, que estavam a valer 28% do PIB, agora valem 42% e estamos a trabalhar para que valham 52% daqui a 4 anos. Juntar a estes elementos a capacidade de atrairmos investimento e entrarmos num ciclo positivo que já não temos há 12 anos, de crescimento do investimento em Portugal, nomeadamente o investimento estrangeiro, nós vamos ter surpresas positivas ao nível do crescimento económico em Portugal de 2014 até 2020. Muito obrigado pela vossa atenção.
Agradeço ao Sr. Ministro da Economia. Como ouviram no início da sua exposição, demitiu um período de interação e, portanto, eu abro o microfone, duas ou três perguntas, não mais, lamentando que o tentar respeitar o horário não nos permita alargar nas perguntas. Em todo o caso, alguém quer... Professor Braga de Macedo, Presidente do Instituto de Investigação Científica e Tropical, tem a palavra.
Muito obrigado. Queria cumprimentar o Ministro da Economia por esta apresentação. Parece-me que, de facto, é muito útil e muito interessante. Tem, contudo, na minha perspectiva, três omissões e era sobre elas que eu queria agora chamar a vossa atenção. Tem existido ao longo de toda esta legislatura um Conselho Estratégico para a Internacionalização da Economia, Strategic Council for Open Economy, da qual, aliás, o Ministro é membro, e que tem tido um papel importante, embora discreto, mas como isto é um roadshow, mesmo coisas discretas podem ser ditas, que é de juntar o setor privado, as principais associações empresariais, no sentido de, portanto, haver uma parceria entre a política económica vista do lado do Estado e dos privados. Uma segunda lacuna, na minha perspectiva, foi que se fala realmente num dos gráficos das exportações fora da União Europeia, mas não se diz uma única vez a palavra CPLP. Quando, nesse mesmo Conselho, foi apresentado recentemente um projeto financiado pelo Compete sobre plataformas regionais, portanto, a lusofonia económica, e eu sei que o Ministro está atento a isso, portanto, penso que seria uma maneira interessante de precisar essa dimensão extra-União Europeia. E, finalmente, um documento do Ministério, também bastante importante, também foi debatido nesse Conselho, que é a Estratégia de Crescimento Económico e o Fomento Industrial, que é sempre importante repetir, porque há pessoas que veem isto industrial de uma maneira estreita, quando não é, evidentemente. E lá salientava-se também um objetivo, que penso que se mantém, de utilizar os Doing Business Indicators como maneira simples. Não é por serem melhores do que está ali dito, mas, como toda a gente usa, ajuda também. Portanto, são ditas, eu não falei muito em questões tropicais, a não ser na parte da CPLP, mas queria sobretudo salientar a importância desta mensagem ser uma mensagem que também traga algumas novidades como estas que indiquei, que penso que seriam fáceis de inserir no documento. Muito obrigado.
Senhor Ministro, responderia a tudo no comentário final, não sei se há mais alguma pergunta. O embaixador em Riad tem a palavra, embaixador Cansado Carvalho.
Thank you. We will bring our session to a close. I don't know if anyone else would like to ask for the floor. If that's not the case, I would like to bring this meeting to a close. Thank you very much for your presence.
Relativamente a Portugal, mas infelizmente a dúvida que, enfim, sobre a nossa saída do programa de ajustamento ainda não está totalmente, enfim, dissipada. Uma apresentação deste género seria muito útil se é mais...